It was just a movie.
I'm conflicted about this movie.
What are you, what are you conflicted about?
Why the hell do you look like Arthur Reed at the beginning of the movie?
No, shush. We need conflict. We need to talk about it when we're in the episode and not the pre-show, you clowns.
I'm eating this Oreo donut.
Have you never done this before?
It's my first date.
You've been doing this for years, literally.
Well, guys, this is the last episode. Ever.
Yeah, you're so right. You're so, so true bestie. Shut up. Shut your goddamn mouth.
Look at us. Look at us. Who would have thought?
Look at us. Guys, this is the last episode.
We're reading each other's sandwiches. We're ending off an episode. Garb hasn't been chaotic yet. This is great.
Oh, I'm savoring it.
Savoring it. I like that word. I want to savor it too. Hell yeah, dude.
Guys, put that on.
I can't control it. It's already escaping.
Escapating.
Chaos. I can't contain it.
Welcome to the fucky airplane part maker services. Welcome. This is the tour that we're doing of the facilities. Wow. Yeah, it's Fappeners. That's what we call ourselves. It's Fappeners.
Oh, okay.
Hi. I want everyone to introduce themselves after I introduce them.
Okay.
Because I like to say words more than them. First, the brand new engineer who I don't know if is actually an engineer or just kind of got the job as a fluke. Well, that's Garb.
Hey, why you interrupting me? I'm trying to do my work here. I'm engineering.
Cool. The next one is our secretary who seems to be designing an aircraft right now. Well, that's Pino.
All right. And the wing will go here and I'm going to call it the gummy ship.
Hey, can I copy off your work here?
No, get your own gummy ship, dude.
I'll call mine the gummy ship.
Hey, you just told me. What do you mean? What are you doing here? Wait. You brought my accent out. What are you doing, okay? Come on. You gotta stop right now, dude.
It's a virus.
And me, the boss. Well, that's me, Chuck. Hey, come on. Stop copying off his work. We talked about this in the seminar.
I was trying to keep that voice for forever, and now I don't even remember what voice I made. God damn it. Oh, my God.
No, you got it. You got it. You
got it.
What? Jacuzzi splats? Why'd you moan?
I'm Jacuzzi. That's why.
He got into character by moaning. Anyway, hey guys, welcome to the Funky Anime Podcast. This is Chaos.
I told you I was saving it.
Chaos.
Welcome to the season finale of season 4. I don't know if you guys even knew that we were in a season.
Dude, how many months
listeners,
are in a season?
Usually like 3.
I believe you.
Maybe in real seasons, but our seasons.
It's a year.
Yeah.
Well, it's over a year usually.
Nah. Shit out, dude.
You know, production
what
value.
What do you mean? What production value? Anyway, hey guys, this is a Funky Anime Podcast. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You're no problem. I mean, it's great to have you on.
Okay.
It's always a pleasure.
And I'm here.
He's just along for the ride. It's okay.
Yippee.
Yo-ho.
But hello, everyone. Welcome to the finale of season 4 of the Funky Anime Podcast. It's us. We did it. Guys, we did it.
What a long journey.
Holy everyone, crap. Everyone clap and say congratulations.
Congratulations. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, copyright.
Congratulations. Dun, dun, dun. Congratulations.
Congrutalions.
Congratulations.
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 Thank you. I was going to sing it, but I couldn't think of it.
Cool, cool, cool. Good, good, good.
Guys, four seasons. I'm happy. You know, we're here.
We did it.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought?
Not me. Like, literally not me.
Dude, the hotel's going to sue us. You can't say that.
No, not again.
No, I thought we were the lawn care company. Guys, remember that topical joke?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I'll never forget.
Never forget. This is our generation's Alamo.
Wow, dude.
What's up?
Nothing, dude. I just remember watching that movie.
What?
Yeah, because you got to remember it.
Yeah, it was Fiddler on the Roof, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was Catcher in the Rye, though.
No, it was Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Got you. Hot Tub Time Machine. Awesome.
Not Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Oh. Wow, spoilers much?
yes, but welcome to our chaos. This week, this episode, this season finale, as per tradition, as we always do, we've always done it, we've never not done it, we're watching another Ghibli film, Studio Ghibli.
It's a long time coming.
Our beloved...
season coming.
It's the same amount of time coming as any other one.
But was it long?
Eh.
Okay, well.
I mean, a year is long to some, but short to others.
All right, you win this
one. Have you ever asked a turtle how long a year is?
No, they don't talk to me.
Exactly. Maybe you should be more sociable and maybe they'll talk back.
Maybe I shouldn't have said I like eating turtle soup.
But maybe... You're saying a turtle made this soup?
Hey, now you're speaking my language.
Anyway, we watched this time, since last time Pino did not honor the time-honored tradition of watching in release order. I'm wow. Also not watching in release order, because this time we watched The Wind Rises.
Wow, dude, it certainly does.
Or Kaze Tachinu. But before I forget, because... I don't want to forget. That'd be awkward. I would like to thank all of our cool, cool patrons who.
Oh yeah.
Give me money to say things. I would specifically like to thank Anime of the Week, Cream Puff, Mega Lazy Dude, Krim, Cosmos, and Greta.
Yeah.
Yippee!
For giving us money. Oh. It's very poggers of you. We appreciate it greatly. You make the show be a show. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Very epic.
Very cool.
Nifty.
But also, before I forget the other thing, how's everyone's day? How's life? How's life?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I can't really complain. My back hurts, but that always happens, you know?
There's always going to be bodily pains. That's just the nature of life.
Yeah. Anyways, other than that, I was gonna say this anime season's kind of fire. I've already dropped like three shows, mostly because I just forgot to watch them, but yep. I'm still going strong. That I think I started six, so I'm down to three, so that's not including One Piece.
50% success rate.
Hell yeah.
I mean, One Piece is always on the docket.
Absolutely. And we've been eating scrumptious this week, both manga readers and anime watchers, so
man, dude, One Piece was crazy good this week.
Yes, sir, and so was Aharon-san, dude. Yeah, absolutely.
So was Spy X Family. Absolutely. I need to catch up with Aharon. I'm like, dude, I've only watched.
I fell in love as soon as she fidgeted that
like
spinner,
six,
dude.
Maybe. What episode are we on right now? Five, six? I've only watched like four, I think.
Base.
I haven't watched in a couple weeks.
It's all right. But yeah, you'll just have more content to watch.
Oh yeah, shit, that's right.
I gotta catch up on Love is War.
Yeah, I haven't watched that because I need to watch it all with Joan. So I'm just going to wait until we watch it together and then we can just continue to go.
I've also
got Love Live.
I've also, oh yes, I've been catching up with Love Live. Yes. It's excellent.
I need to watch Love Live still.
Please. I still have to watch the other version, Superstar. That's the one I'm missing.
Oh yeah. I love that compilation pack for Mario.
Oh, yeah. What?
That's just singular star.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not even five stars. I've been watching a little bit of subbed Bobobo.
Oh, okay.
Bizarre.
Just to see what it's like. And it still made me laugh many a time, so.
Papa Rocks, am I right?
Papa Roach.
Sorry. I was going to do the scream, but I don't want to.
Let's do it.
Well, not really the scream. It's where he goes, oh, oh, like that. I don't.
What?
Can you do it again one more time that we know what you're
we
doing?
We can't isolate it.
Can you do it one more?
No. Then you'll call me the throat goat. We don't want that.
No, do it one more time, please.
No, one more time, please.
No, I'm asking politely.
All right.
It's the finale. You have to do it.
No, I do that for the after party, the end of season where we all sit on the couch and talk about why we didn't choose the other.
And then it's a big black couch and there's a video camera pointed at it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. We're all sitting there having a good time, you know.
Like, why don't you turn around?
Pido, it looks like there's something that fell over the back of the couch. Can you reach over and grab it for me?
Yeah, sure. And then I dislocate my arm just to get it. There you go, champ.
Thanks, boss.
Yeah. Nice.
But guys, Garb, watching anything?
He just said
Bobobo.
Bobobo.
And well now that all of Better Call Saul.
True.
You're calling Saul?
Yeah.
Guys, when are you guys going to join me on Fortnite?
I own Fortnite. I bought the skins, Pino. Let's play Fortnite then.
Hey, what's Fortnite?
Guys, we're stopping the podcast. We're playing Fortnite in the middle.
Yeah. Guys, what's Fortnite?
Fortnite?
I just shit out my ass. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Oh.
Booted up my PC.
They have no build mode, so now it feels more like,
you know, an actual shooter.
The classic days of PUBG.
Actually,
remember those classic days?
Was good times.
Yeah, see, we'll do it. So, Garb, no. I know you hate Epic Game Store, but download it.
No.
Or download it on your Switch, so you don't have to have Epic Game Store.
That's true.
No.
Come on.
Well,
it'll be fun.
Come on. I have Blanca as a character, and he dances to BTS.
I just got the Macarena the other day.
All of those things are making
I just got
I never want to play this atrocity.
I just got the chicken dance.
I just got the battle pass.
I did not buy the battle pass. I'm not a fucking moron.
I also did not shit out my ass.
Then you truly did not get the battle pass.
True. Anyways.
Garb, play games with us.
Yeah.
You hate us so much.
Hey, that's my line.
We could listen to the best song in the game.
Oh, you're right. We could be listening to the best song in the game.
Dude, it's my room.
See, Ordinary Days?
Hey, shout out to everyone who doesn't get this, which is literally everyone.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. We just went on a super tangent.
Yes. But we watched The Wind Rises, which I think is the first time watch for everyone. I had never watched it before.
Never seen it. I assumed there was going to be flowers. I was kind of right.
I mean, like a scenery.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I was kind of right.
Okay.
I like these whenever none of this have seen the source material.
Yeah. Well, Joan, my partner, recommended it to me greatly. So they're like, this is great. And I'm like, well, I've never seen it before, so I'm going to watch it. So, we did.
Nice.
And before anyone spoils my favorite fun fact of this fucking movie, I am going to tell you my favorite fun... Well, one of my favorite fun facts of this movie.
Sure.
Ready?
Hit, you know, drop the skinny, bro.
You know Jiro, the main character?
Yeah.
You want to know who he was voiced by?
No.
I do.
Hideki Anno.
Oh, wow.
The director of fucking Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Wait, no, you're no shot, dude. Are you serious? I didn't know that. What the fuck?
And the cat from Foolie Cooley.
That is, what? No way. Hold on, I'm looking this up right now.
What do you mean? Why would I lie to you?
I mean, yeah.
What?
I thought he sounded so candid. Like, once he grew up, I was like, that definitely sounds like...
It was just a guy.
...his character. But yeah, he just sounds like a dude. And it's so candid.
No way. That is crazy.
Yeah,
no.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, so, That's pretty cool. That's pretty epic.
Wow.
Also, shout out to, a fun fact about, Anno is that, he directed, a show called Karikano, which was directly after Eva, but during that time, the Pokemon seizure incident happened where, Pokemon just, you know.
Porygon was wrongfully accused.
Yeah, when it was actually Pikachu. But Anno, because of that, has never done a television anime since, because there were restrictions placed on television shows. And he's like, I hate this.
That is
I
so
wanna
sad,
give kids
dude.
Seizures.
That is so sad.
So, yeah.
Alexa.
Anyway, fun fact.
Alexa, play Calm Sister Todd.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, so that's a fun fact.
That is cool. Like, you actually surprised me. That was awesome.
Yeah. See, it was pretty fun.
I guess I have fun facts, but it's not really a fun fact. I just looked at the cast in the English dub. We'll talk about it.
Oh, well, yes. The English dub is wild.
It's crazy, dude.
We'll get to that. Anyway, I haven't hosted an episode in years. This is my first day. Let's talk about the history, shall
awesome.
We? A little bit.
Drop the skinny. I'm going to keep saying
that. So this was released July 20th, 2013. Obviously, made by Studio Ghibli, who we all know has done a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And done a lot of good movies.
Yeah, that's
and done
the
a movie
part.
That Pino unfairly hates.
No. They made like a bunch of good movies and like one terrible one.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie to fall asleep to.
You didn't fall asleep to the so fucking
I hate
today.
Myself.
We I don't know if you guys knew this, but we're recording later today than normal, so we're a little bit more loose.
You mean we're a little more quirky at night?
Dude, the podcasters get a little quirky at night. I hate that I said that. But Studio Ghibli, you know, we know that. And actually, this is technically Miyazaki's final directorial project.
Wow, okay.
So, which, air quotes. air quotes around that, because he is... technically working on a project called How Do You Live, which is going to be a Ghibli film that is apparently in production right now.
Wow. Okay.
Which was announced in 2016. And there was a projection that that it would be coming out in 2021 or 2022. But this was said prior to COVID. So probably it's not going to come out for a couple more years.
Yeah, we're getting pushback.
So, because if you guys remember at the end of this movie, like, I think most movies that Miyazaki did had him as the final credit, but it, like, really sat on this one to, like, kind of say that it was Hayao Miyazaki's final film. Well, it isn't anymore. But, well, it still is for now.
True.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's another fun fact. See, guys, I'm so good at fun facts.
Dude, you're
I was hoping that this episode would be packed full of them. I just had a feeling.
Dude, I got a feeling. Ooh.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to know, dude. I need a confirmation. That's all, dude. It's fine.
I'm just a silly little
dude,
guy, okay?
You're right, dude. Why would I get mad at a silly little guy, dude?
Dude, you can't get mad at me. Why would you have beef with me? I'm just a funny little man.
Yeah, look at you, dude. Look at you go.
Look at me go. Anyway, I do want to talk a little bit about, before we get into actual, like, presentation and stuff, how this piece of media actually came to be. So, The Wind Rises is basically a combination of two ideas put together. First, is kind of a pseudo biography, like retelling of the story of Jiro Horikoshi, who was the chief engineer of many Japanese fighter planes, including the one that we actually see him building within this film. The Mitsubishi the Mitsubishi A6M-0 fighter, which was used in World War II by the Japanese Navy. So during the story, you hear them talking about how the Navy is their client.
Not the Navy.
And he's in the Navy. And he is doing all this work for it. And so this story in The Wind Rises chronicles that development cycle, basically, as it was...
Foretold? Written?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But then also, it also draws influence from the book called The Wind Has Risen, which is a 1936 novel by Tatsuo Hori, which is basically just the story set in a sanatorium where a nameless protagonist resides... lives with his fiance who has been diagnosed with tuberculosis. So if you've seen the film, which before anyone says anything else, watch the fucking movie. It's 2 hours long. Like, you have 2 hours at some point. If you have a VPN, it's on Netflix. That isn't the US. If you don't have a VPN, it's on HBO Max. If you don't have either of those, you know where to find it. it's a combination of these two, and if I'm reading this correctly, was it adapted after? Yeah, so apparently Miyazaki created basically like a source manga before this movie was produced, which basically goes over the same premise, not as in much detail, but a lot of the character designs are still relatively there. One fun thing to note is that all the characters are actually pigs. Well, all the men, I think, are pigs.
And just the men, not the women or the children?
Yeah. Well, they have, well, not specifically pigs, but they have pig snouts.
Oh.
Yeah, which I mean, also, if you know anything about Miyazaki, he was born in post. Actually, when was he born? I want to make sure that I'm getting this right because this is very important to his whole thing. Yeah, so he was born in 1941.
Ah,
which, if you know about Japan in the early 1940s, they were kind of in a little bit of a conflict. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called World War II. And as a result of said World War II, and as we've seen in previous Ghibli films, the effects of World War II have a pretty big impact on people living around that age, no?
Some would say, yeah.
Yeah. So, and as such, Miyazaki is very much a pacifist, anti-war due to that, which makes fucking sense.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout this movie, you can see that influence that very much kind of, you know, to a point justifies the means and brings the beauty into these designs that, in all honesty, were built to be killing machines. And you see that there was actually some conflict, lashback from the political right in Japan when this was released. Which I feel like most Miyazaki films probably have that, since there's always an anti-war message in them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah, that's just some food for thought on why this happens. And also Miyazaki, in many of his other films, and this one included, have a very big focus on flying machines of some kind. A huge interest for him, and as such, he's put it into basically all of his... media and productions. And you can tell by this one that he very deeply cared about the production of airplanes. And even if airplanes are to be weapons of destruction, you can still find beauty in them. And, you know,
he was
still
so concerned about accuracy that he made all the sound effects himself.
Pew, 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 pew. in his dreams.
Ka-chow.
And that was maybe Anno who did those. Maybe. I would assume they would because it's his own dream, but who knows, truly. But since I've gotten kind of that like history and coverage of that, a little bit of background, let's talk a little bit about presentation.
Sure. I mean, it's
animation. It's a film by Studio Ghibli. It looks good.
Yeah, you can't argue with that. And it's 2013, so I'm assuming they'd have some digital in there, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can definitely tell that it's crisp. I can almost guarantee you they were still drawn by hand, but they were then digitized and colored in and animated over that. It's what I would assume. Because it's definitely digitized.
Mm-hmm.
But I can almost guarantee you, once again, this is all speculation because I'm a silly little guy who doesn't know nothing.
Don't worry. Don't get mad at him. He's just a little guy. Why would you?
Yeah, I'm just looking through, but I cannot see. I tried to find out, but I don't know. Anyway.
Regardless, any of their panning shots and like their sceneries are just so gorgeous to look at.
The backgrounds. The backgrounds and specifically the airplane designs, which some come from inspirations from real life aircraft. But the detail that they are given is so beautiful. And I was thinking while I was watching it, I'm like, man, I wish that I like had a deeper like interest in airplanes.
Let me guess. Like, the furthest we got was JJ the jet plane.
No.
That's cap, bro.
I studied airport design in college.
We know that's not real.
That's real.
Airplanes are just big old monsters flying in the sky, dude.
I mean, they are. They pay me to not tell anyone about that.
Okay, I believe you.
Okay, I believe you, jump in the line. But yes, airplanes, very cool, very pretty in this movie. I mean, every Ghibli film that Miyazaki has had a hand in very much have very, very pretty,
mm-hmm.
pretty art, pretty backgrounds, you know.
Even in those more serious moments, I think, like, there's a couple of scenes that I won't talk about yet, but where there's damage to a city, those, I feel like the color choice was good, because, like, you can tell, like, this place is not the same even after 2 years of recovery. So it was nice. It wasn't as like, it wasn't like compared to Porco Rosso, like you can get the same feel, but obviously it's a little more cartoony. This one, I feel like, I don't know. I like this one. It just felt muted, but not like, I don't want to be negative about it is the thing. Cause it's not muted. It's like, it's dull. No, it's not dull. They got the right colors for the right scenes. That's all I want to say.
Well, there's the juxtaposition of their usual colorfulness going to the
a more
grayness.
Muted color.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And I mean,
it's the transition of it.
They're masterful at their craft, is all, you know, is all I want to say.
Yeah, no, the coloring is super good, especially in the dream sequences, especially. Ooh. It's very vivid colors, very green greens. All the blades of grass moving with the airplanes, and oh, it's so good. Mm-hmm. It looks so fantastic. Absolutely great. I mean, animation's great. But now, if we're done with a little bit of that, let's talk about the voice acting. So before we get to the English voice acting, which is wild...
Mm-hmm.
Quickly talk about the sub, since Garb and I both watched
the sub.
Fill
me in, please.
Fantastic. I have no complaints. I feel like the emotion, even... I feel like the Anno casting feels a little bit just like, oh yeah, he's like an old colleague, an old friend, and very much an influencer in the animation industry. But he still like has had roles prior and since. So it doesn't feel like a cop-out, and also I feel like the realness and kind of, like, relaxed speaking style fits Jiro very well.
It's very candid.
Mm-hmm. It just sounds like a guy talking, you know, going to work and, you know, and things like that.
There's a couple other characters too that sound like that in the later in the resort or hotel. There's the dude with the nose.
Wow, dude! Wow, dude! No, yeah.
I mean, he got a big schnoz.
Yeah.
What is his deal? Is he just like the one American?
Oh,
well, he's like.
I'll tell you when we get to the dub. Oh no. Yeah, he's German.
But yes, he's a German.
He definitely sounded like the actual voice actor for that in the sub. Didn't sound like Japanese was his first language.
No, it would definitely sounded more like broken Japanese. And whenever he was singing German, for example, it sounded much more natural to him. And as such,
he was American. Yeah, you're right. The
was he American?
Yeah, the voice actor for the Japanese.
Okay. Oh shit,
Steve Alpert. Apparently, he's a Studio Ghibli exec. That's cool.
Huh.
Oh, good for him,
dude. His birthday passed. Happy birthday, dude. That was last month.
Happy birthday, Steve. But yeah, you know, I have absolutely no complaints with the with the sub. It's fantastic. I mean, once again, it's a Ghibli film. I would assume that they would not have, you know, slumps.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pino?
Yeah, sure. All right. So, obviously, we know that Disney, Disney got all these, like, what, Ghibli movies, right? Like,
they did all the dubbing and distribution.
They said, you know,
outside of Japan.
They said, you know what Ghibli needs? They need Joseph Gordon-Levitt, dude. He plays the main guy, Jiro. I didn't even look at the list before watching the movie. I was like, let me see if I recognize somebody. We have people like Stanley Tucci in the movie.
Yeah.
We've got John Krasinski from Office fame as Jiro's friend. Shoot, we have what? Emily Blunt as Naoko.
Yeah, you have Martin Short as Kurokawa.
And the German is Werner Herzog. And his voice was, that was so telling because he sounds just like this. And I was like, oh my God, I know who you are, dude. It was wild. Like, I did not expect any of these voices. And like, it's, I described this in the Patreon chat. I like dubs. Okay. Just, I want to get that across again for the fourth season in a row, but every Ghibli movie just is like, it's a passable dub. Like, yeah, they're doing a good job, but it's not like an excellent job. Like there's always something that's missing, at least for me, with these, with these Ghibli dubs.
I am personally always pretty against it, mm-hmm. just because of the fact that there are so many incredibly talented voice actors in the industry, mm-hmm. For dubbing and for just original work. And when big production studios like Disney or, you know, people like Illumination or any type of animation studio or animation distributor, 99% of the time these days, if it's a big budget film,
mm-hmm.
they will dub it with actors and actresses who are more of a movie fame of like a live acting fame.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many voice actors that can do so much better.
Oh no, I can agree.
And that can sell a character so much better. So that's why I'm always against listening, especially to Ghibli dubs. I like, it just makes me upset.
Now my counter to that,
I think it's funny.
It is. But my counter to that, since you just told me about the, and it just came in my mind, since you did tell me about the Japanese dub, how they just sounded like regular guys, like going regularly, like going to work, like regularly. They all sounded really mm-hmm. regular. Like, they all just sound like normal, average people. So I guess, quote, like, air quotes, I guess they kind of got that point across in that sense. But well, I would still prefer a different, I would still prefer different voices.
You can have a good dub,
yeah.
But it won't be a great dub unless you put in the work to get the correct casting that
right.
isn't just, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah. I will say the German guy disrespect. Sold the German thing pretty well, though.
Well, good.
It's okay. I don't think Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going to be watching. I mean, I'd love to be wrong, but
dude, I hope John Krasinski is watching, dude.
I will bet you $1,000 that John Krasinski will not listen to this podcast to this point.
But we love him. He's probably in a quiet place, though.
Shut your fucking mouth. I'm just saying that these are good actors and actresses.
They're actors, not voice
actors. Yeah, they're not voice actors. They are not classically trained in voice acting or, like, have really cut their teeth into voice acting, and instead by just name alone. So, I don't know.
Unlike us, who have been podcasting and are very much qualified.
Absolutely.
Also, guys, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm a fucking voice actor. I'm just a schmuck who complains about things on the internet. Also, though, fun fact about Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he also dubbed a character in the Star Wars Vision TV series.
Oh, no shot? Which one?
It was the second episode, the Tatooine Rhapsody one.
Oh, wow. Really? The one where they sang in hip-hop? And, yeah. Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it was the main character.
Awesome. He was Jay.
Well, okay. So for people who don't know, Star Wars Visions was a thing put up by Disney Plus through Disney to celebrate Star Wars, and they enrolled the help of, I think, 7 different animation studios.
I remember Trigger was from Japan. One of them.
Trigger was one of them. Production IG was one of them. It's actually a fucking wild list. Like Kamikaze Doga was really good. Science Saru, the people who did how do you say the fucking name? Azayoken again? I fucking suck.
Is it the three girls?
Keep your hands off of Azayoken.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm a struggling, bumbling motherfucker. But yes, many, many great, studios, and watch it subbed. The sub is phenomenal. So, you know, if you ever get Disney Plus, which I doubt you will because you hate things.
Yeah. Rundle. Gonna pass.
Well, you could also just find it. I'll never tell where though, but it is good. I would recommend for people who like Star Wars, and also it's just interesting seeing an anime take and like truly run like free with it, you know, and we're not watching a bunch of Luke Skywalker garbage. So God bless America. But yeah, that is the voice cast. Voice cast is good in Japan. Okay. In England. Well, not England, England. I would be upset if they had English accents. But now I'm trying to host this episode. The OST, fucking phenomenal.
Oh yeah,
absolutely wonderful. Composed by Joe Hisaishi, and performed by the Yomori Nippon Symphony Orchestra, which was awesome. The score is frankly phenomenal. Truly brings together a lot of just good emotions. And also, by the way, Joe Isahashi, he has done music for almost every Ghibli film.
I kind of figured.
Castle in the Sky, Totoro, Kiki's Delivery Service, Pocoroso, Princess Mononoke, Spirited Away, Hell's Moving Castle, Wind Rises, you know, a bunch of things. A bunch of shit. But very good. Very accomplished composer, and has released a lot of music, and he's very good at what he does. One of the things I actually want to touch on really quickly is that the use or lack thereof of music was really phenomenal in this movie. One scene that I'm thinking in particular is the wedding scene where, let me pull up to make sure I'm saying where Nako was walking to like the main room for the marriage scene, completely silent besides of like the steps. And it added this sort of how intimate that scene was while like just making it how it would be, you know, if this were to happen in real life, you know? And it was it was great. All the music and then like the choice of music of when and when not to use it, I really appreciated. Yeah, I mean, do you have anything to say about the music?
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. It's glues it all together. You know, he's been doing it a long time. He knows what he's doing. It's good.
It's good. It's glue. It's glue. It's glue. I love glue. It's glue. So going to my favorite segment of this whole show. Openings and endings. No openings. But there is, you know, technically an ending where it's literally just the ending credit scroll with a bunch of backgrounds drawn and just repurposed as a funny little slideshow. Let me pull it up just to make sure I get the name right. Where is it? Okay. So the song is called Hikouki Gomo by Yumi Matsutoya. And it is fucking beautiful. The lyrics when they are translated is very on, like, on point with the emotions of the film and the feelings that you get in it. I can't remember off the top of my head of the translation when I was watching it on HBO Max, though. Spoilers, I was crying big time at the end of that film. I was crying for basically the whole second half.
Yeah.
Of that film. And just like reading the, like listening to this very, very pretty song and like reading what the meaning was behind it. And I just kept crying. It's just a very beautiful song and I really enjoyed listening to it. And I sat through the whole thing like without saying a word. And I was just like, oh, so good. But yes, absolutely phenomenal ending. You know, oh, so pretty, so wonderful.
Yeah, it got me too. Not for the whole second half, but definitely got me at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even like pinpoint the time. I just got very sad. I was just extremely sad.
Yeah, and they hint it so early on. It's like, oh, you know it's going to happen. So
yeah,
it's just
I was waiting and then it made me very sad. It was very good, but very, very sad. I'm going to quickly, I'm going to put a timestamp right here. Pinogon. So that I'm gonna pause. Well, I'm not gonna actually pause. I'm gonna leave a recording, but so I know where to cut and where to cut back, because I don't want to do the plot without stinky Pino.
Technical difficulties.
Okay.
He's back.
I'm sorry.
I was watching my RuneScape video. You interrupted
my sorry. I got a text and I got a phone call. I don't know if you heard the ding earlier.
I did not.
Okay, good. That means this mic is based.
It is. I mean, there's a reason why we made you buy it.
Yes, I'm taking off my shirt right now, live on camera, 4K. Don't at me.
Oh my god, I'm sweating. I'm salivating. My pee-pee?
I'm now shirtless.
Doing something I've never seen it do before.
What?
What?
What did you say?
Nothing.
I kind of want to take off my pants.
Oh my god, it's going wild. Going crazy.
Gone podcast.
Gone girl.
Where did we leave off on?
Well, because we'll peek behind.
We're saving that fat, juicy plot.
Yeah,
for
a little peek behind the curtain. Pino doesn't like to be on the podcast. So
hey, I love being on the podcast. So, just had a little Pino moment.
Yeah,
if you're,
he had to leave, and then he.
Dude, have you ever watched the Fast and Furious movies?
Only a couple.
It's all about family, dude. And then Han dies in a car crash in the third movie. Anyways.
No! It's not about family at all.
It's about Tokyo.
It's about Tokyo and the funny song. God damn.
Yeah, dude.
Guys, anyway, The Wind Rises is a film.
Yeah.
It's a story about a man named Jiro who wants to be a pilot, but his eyesight is too bad.
That hit home.
So instead, bad vision. He leaves town to study aeronautical engineering in Tokyo.
Can I say something real quick?
No.
Okay.
What?
I'm going to be real. Like, two things went across my mind in that first instance when he showed up as a kid. One, why the hell did he look like me? Two, why the hell he looked like Arthur Reed? Three, why the hell his sister looked like DW?
I mean, that's what all the sisters in Ghibli films look like.
I know, and it's not right, dude.
They look like little frogs.
They look like Kawamatsu.
A little bit. But yeah,
I just wanted to share that. Those were thick lenses. I don't know if it was just the way they drew it, but those were thick lenses.
Well, early on, because it was in the 1910s, glasses production, I assume, was less refined, and they become smaller later. Like in the future, when he's an adult, his lenses are much smaller. So you can see the passage of time. Mm-hmm. But yes, he wants to build planes, just like his funny little hero, Giovanni Battista Caproni.
He calls him a little Japanese boy every time. He does. Make me giggle.
But yes, yeah, so throughout the movie, we see several dreams of Caproni and Jiro sharing a dream, which I can only assume it's just Jiro dreaming. I don't think the real life man shared a dream with him. But we see through his ambitions that he wants to build planes just like him and to design something like that would change the world, essentially. So as he's going to Japan, or going to Tokyo, he's already in Japan. As he goes to Tokyo, riding the funny little train, he has a chance encounter with a girl and her servant, basically, where his hat almost fell off, or came off the train as a big gust of wind. But she catches it and almost falls off the train, but she doesn't. And they quote a fucking poem in Italian, I think. I can't remember what language
it was. French. I thought it was French.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They're both.
Yeah, they
silly
really do.
Europeans.
They really do.
They really are both. But yeah, so they talk about The Wind Rising, and we hear that referenced a lot in the story and mostly in the dreams. He's like, it's just
the better times they said the wind rises.
Is the wind still rising?
They literally say the wind rises at one point. And I was like,
I can't believe they
didn't say Studio Ghibli's The Wind Rises.
But yeah, so after this chance encounter, the Great Kanto Earthquake of 1923 happens, which is a real thing that happened. And
that burns scene down was done
Tokyo.
Beautifully.
Oh, yeah.
It was scary, too.
I mean, yeah, earthquakes are scary, my man.
Yeah, but like I feel like earthquakes in a lot of animes, they don't really show how devastating it is. I'm going to call out One Piece, despite Whitebeard having a cool-ass power in Marineford. It got nothing compared to the sheer fear and the despair of the way it was depicted in this movie. And I was like, Jesus.
It's wild. I mean, I've been in a couple of earthquakes. Nothing super catastrophic. I've definitely because I lived in California for a couple of years and I also lived in Japan for a couple of years where I felt multiple earthquakes, especially in California. Where, like, you're like, oh my god, like, things are happening. It was never enough to, like, you know, shake the house, or it would shake the house, but, like, throw things off shelves. You would definitely hear, like, plates rattling.
Right.
We had, like, plates on display, because this was, I don't know how long ago this was, my fucking white-ass family's home, where they had, like, displayed plates that are, like, fancy or whatever, and I could hear them, like, rattling as the ground would shake, and I was like, oh, that's wild. And I was the only one awake at that time. It was like 7 a.m.
Oh, my God, my boy.
And it was like, oh, shit. But, yeah, no, nothing fell. It was fine. It was bizarre.
I think I've only been through three, and two of them were, like, literally just, it shook for, like, maybe 10 seconds.
Yeah, no.
And nothing happened.
And there's, I had one for, like, 30 seconds. It felt like a lot longer. But it was, wild.
Do you guys remember when I went to Peru? The instant we started the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know if I did tell you guys. I feel like I did, but I was just like, "Hey, I woke up and my entire family told me, hey, there was an earthquake. Yes. You just slept right through it."
You definitely told at least me that story. I definitely knew that happened.
I was just like, funny. "Well, at least I'd be gone and I wouldn't know."
Yeah. No, but yeah, the earthquake scene, wild. It like truly shows. Very. What?
I had to look back because I thought it was a bomb, and I was like, oh, my God. But no, yeah, it was an earthquake.
That was Mother Nature. We know what... Yeah, it was a magnitude 7.9.
Ooh, yeah. Those
which, albeit magnitude is not the best way to show a, like a seismic like scale.
Destruction.
But
yeah.
It is very much... crazy. Also, I guess one thing that's pretty cool on the Wikipedia page of the magnitude scale, if it's a magnitude of, so this was 7.9, so I'm just going to round it up to 8. A magnitude 8 had the equivalent energy as 1,200 nuclear bombs.
Wow.
So it's crazy. It's wild. Earthquakes are insane. And you should be scared.
Absolutely.
But yes, earthquakes are crazy. Wonderful scene. There's fires. He saves the maid. And
hallelujah.
He does it. And they're like, wow. And then he continues on. He goes to the university. Everything's burning. Because, you know, it's kind of just like back in the day, everything was lit with candles. And when things shake, it shakes. But also, the destruction, very accurate to what had happened, because the epicenter was basically on Tokyo. Mm-hmm. So the biggest, destruction was there, and everything was burnt down. And so that's why, like, they talk about it a little bit, that, like, the streets are wider, and that, like, but, like, they're still sticking with, like, older designs and whatnot. But, like, that's a thing that just happened. And it's wild. And you know, there's a bunch of political things that we don't need to talk about that earthquake, because there's a lot of whack shit, especially in pre-World War II Japan, feudal Japan, right. et cetera. Regardless, they do it, and we see actually as a direct result later that the economy is still in shambles, you know, especially when you're basically a capital city gets thrown down and your country is lagging behind in technology and development and very much stuck in the ways that you would do it, which they point out, especially in like the buildings. It's like, yeah, we're still doing it like we did eons ago. Well, not eons ago, but you know what I'm saying.
Historically speaking, Japan was very isolationist. Their industrial revolution was very lit compared to a lot of the nations. So, I mean, that's rough.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of see it throughout the course of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you see later on in the story, especially when he, like, becomes employed, that, like, they're riding cars. But even at the beginning, like, they just had, like, a train. And, like, that was, like, the big thing. And obviously, it kind of ties in, and especially when you get to the 20th century, they are much more open. They were obviously getting designs and things from other nations, and you see that throughout this film when it comes to them going to Germany. The train designs not being a Japanese design, I'm pretty sure it was an English design. I'm not entirely sure. Don't talk to me about trains. I know, frankly, too little, but I love trains. But yeah, so Jiro. We flash forward. He is now a new engineer at company. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to call it Mitsubishi because that's where he worked in real life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they straight up called
it. Oh, yeah, there was a sign.
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember. Yeah. I'm brain dead.
That was what tipped me off to this being at least a partially true story.
It's right. A fabricated. Like,
oh, they wouldn't just.
Fabricated story of his life.
They got Mitsubishi money.
It's true. But yeah, so we see him starting to develop, work with his close friend. What's his name? Kiro. Honjo, mm-hmm. if you know his last name, because that's what they usually called him in the series, or the show, movie, whatever it's called. And they work together. You can see that he's has big aspirations, him always creating these like aircraft designs, focusing and doing all these things. And you see as he progresses that he becomes a better and better engineer and better designer of aircraft. And he's very much interested in this sort of work.
I am interested in this.
Yeah. And so you see that he is he's very competent at his job. Mm-hmm. We continue forward and on a break, because they are trying to design aircrafts for the Navy to fly on, what are they called? Not battleship, aircraft carriers. Mm-hmm. That they need to make a design against for like a design competition, which happens in the military. Basically, they outsource the designing process, and whoever wins that contest, their design gets bought and they get copious amounts of money, etc., etc. You know,
I like that word.
The military complex is wild. What word did you like?
Copious. I learned that word ages ago, but I like how it sounds. It just means a lot of.
It does mean a lot of. You're so true. Was that on your word of the day calendar?
No, I actually back in, I believe, middle school or high school. I don't remember. I was short either way.
You still are.
There was an art project, you needed an SAT word, which was copious, and you had to draw things relating to that around your word, and that was the most fun I had that year.
Congrats. Yep.
Happy.
Happy to hear about it.
I was lonely.
But yeah. As he's designing this, he still thinks about his time where he saved the maid and the girl during that earthquake. And as we see later, that they meet up through a chance encounter where Jiro is staying at the family's hotel. And through that, we see Jiro and Naoko bond, have a relationship. But you also learn that Naoko had caught tuberculosis from
her mama.
Is from her mother, yes. Cause,
God, you know, you know the moment where you watch something and you're just like, "This is too good to be true," and then you know, it kind of just rip your heart out.
Well, because you also see her before you like actually know. You can kind of tell that she's sick because she's staying up in her room. And, like, isolating herself, you don't really see them interacting beyond Jiro on the ground and Naoko.
I just thought she had an overprotective father.
No, sir. No, sir. She's sick. But, yes.
Still.
So we see that. And after a while, Jiro basically just says, "I've fallen in love." And it's like, "Yes, it's with your daughter." And she's like, "I'm sick." And so she's like, "You must wait until I'm better so that we can be married." And he's like, "I'll wait 100 years. And I fucking sobbed. I cried.
I feel that, buddy.
But so after that, we see Jiro go back to work. We see that the military police want his ass because that's the independent thought police. For design, they wanted to, you know, arrest him for one reason or another. That's just kind of how the government works. Especially when there's a lot of, what's it called? Not distrust. Something that is not stable. What would you define as not stable?
This table I'm sitting on?
No. I didn't ask for an example.
Oh.
Something. When there's instability in the country, the government is like, don't like that. So they try to arrest him. Luckily, based boss Kurokawa is like, yo, work here. We'll get your shit, and then you can stay at my house. So he does.
Can I just say I love Edna Mode? So seeing this guy was even better.
It's a very, very close comparison. But yes, at first I was like, is this guy gonna be like the bad guy? Like, is he gonna be a shitty guy? But like as it turns on, he's just kind of hard on his employees and wants them to.
He's
be
loyal,
better.
Dude. Did you see how he was like protecting him? He's like, no, you're not working down here. You're working this office. Yeah. It's like, I've had many friends. Well, not also, know why the secret police were after him. I was like, this man is a homie, dude.
Well, also with specifically one of the things that I just had in my mind and now I just forgot. Specifically when you see after one of the first plane crashes that we see after a test flight, that he's standing in the rain looking at the destruction. And, like, it just shows that, like, he's not just, like, some curmudgeon trying to do this for the money. Like, he actually cares about his work and what he does. So I thought that was a really great scene. It was only, like, a minute long. Like, it was super short. But just Jiro and Kurokawa. And I was very glad that we had that just to kind of develop a little bit of trust and, like, camaraderie between the two, even if it is more of a boss-employee type of deal at that time. I thought that was wonderful. Not necessary, but absolutely necessary. Like, it wasn't technically necessary, but it served the plot extremely well, even if it didn't feel like it.
Right.
Yeah, so as this is happening, Naoko had went to a sanatorium, basically, so that she could get better for the sake of her love with Jiro. But it comes to a point where she just leaves and just goes to meet. Oh, well, I guess I glossed over the fact that after the secret police, Jiro receives a telegram that Naoko's condition had gotten worse and like to come immediately. So he does. He gets on like the first train and gets there as soon as possible.
That was on the brink of tears.
Yeah. Oh, I cried. And they made it there, and they embrace, and I fucking cried my eyes out again. And they just, like, hold each other for a minute. He's like, I need to go back, like, immediately. So then after that point, he's still working. She's in the sanatorium. But then after a bit, she's just like, fuck it, I can't do this. And just goes to Kurokawa's place where Jiro's is working, and they and Kurokawa's like, I can't have any unwed couples staying together in this house. And they're like, then fucking marry us, dog.
Oh, on God.
For real, for real? So they do. And once again, I cried.
My heart was a flutter. I was like, this is great. And old man got emotional too. I was like, this. Yeah. He's, want to give him a big old hug and then slap his head.
I did. Oh my god, this movie was so fucking sad.
Yeah.
Oh, it made me so sad. But we get to this point where they're like, okay, well, we'll just get married then. So they do. And a fucking beautiful scene. So wonderful. And then we see them and they're kind of like lives together. Jiro obviously going out to work still. And then we also get to see, I'm going to unplug something so that, because my cat is on the desk right now and I don't want her to stop recording or anything.
But the cable looks so chewy and delicious.
But yeah, so we see that Kayo, who's the younger sister, has become a doctor. And she comes and she's like, come on, man. You got to spend more time with her. You know she's not supposed to be here. You know she's sick. And he's like, well, every day is very important for us. And I cried. I cried big tears there. And, oh, my God.
I got upset. I was visually upset watching the movie.
And Kyle's like, well, you know, it's, like, her condition's much worse than, like, she's letting on. And
yeah, she's like covering it up with like, not makeup, but like with some sort of, she's just trying.
Yeah. And so they talk about that and we get more scenes with them. And as, I guess I didn't technically talk about the German stuff. I'm really glossing over the, I need to pull my cat off the desk. Give me 1 second. I'm glossing over the plane stuff because there's not
too... You didn't talk about... Huh? You talked about Redestro, right?
Who?
Redestro? From Germany?
You mean Kastrop?
Yeah, Redestro from My Hero.
Oh, that's... Okay. Well, yeah, okay. Kastrop happens...
I know I can just jump off the building now, thanks.
Kastrop is in the scenes at the hotel at the resort, and he's like... Mr. Hitler is bad, and it's going to lead to Japan exploding. And we see later that like he like suddenly left one day, which is probably because at the time that Germany and Japan were allies and trying to get any sort of political outsider against, obviously, the Nazis. And so you see that he just kind of leaves one day, and they make it very understated, but you're like, oh my God, like the Nazis were after him. So that was wild. Man had a big nose and ate greens very weirdly.
It looked like, you know, that there's like a funny image of Nico Yazawa, where she looks kind of goofy writing some on her paper. That's what he reminded me of in that specific scene of him eating the greens.
Very fair. But yeah, so we get him. He's a little pivotal character to move a little bit of the story forward. Just a funny little guy.
Funny little guy.
He smokes. They all smoke. But after that, so jump back forward. As Juro is finally reaching the completion of the Mitsubishi A6M Zero Fighter, we get another... a dream sequence of him back with Giovanni, where he's like, would you like to live in a world without pyramids or with pyramids? He's like, what the fuck do you mean? He's like, even though that eventually that these will become weapons of destruction from the military, they are still beautiful and still worth making. And I was like, oh no, it's so good. And so that's kind of like the last drive that he has. And right before the final launch, or like the first test of one of the final designs of the Zero aircraft fighter, or the fighter aircraft is what the proper order is, we see that Naoko goes back to the sanatorium, just leaves one day. It's like, hey, I'm just feeling better. I'm going to go for a walk. And at that point, Kaio was coming to visit and to, like, check on her. And she left letters saying that she was going back. And they all knew that it's because she was getting extremely sick. And during one of the test flights, we see Juro, even though, like, basically his crowning achievement of getting this all-metal aircraft to be flying. There's a wind, a gust of wind, a.k.a. the wind may be rising, who knows, where he's just sitting there just for a minute, and it's come, at least, like, it is, like, a sign that she had died. And... oh, I cried so much. Like, I cried, like, interspersedly throughout, but then from the point of her leaving to the end, to, like, past the end of the film, I was crying the whole time. Like, there was no stop. And the last thing that we see is another dream with Juro talking to Giovanni one last time. Talking about airplanes, and he sees Naoko with her umbrella, and she fades away.
She says, live. That's where I cried. I was on the brink of tears throughout the entire movie. I'm like, no, no, no. And then she disappears with the wind, and I was like, you really waited for me to cry when the wind rises.
Oh, I was so sad.
Then I didn't want to dream ever again, and so I won't.
Oh,
that's all I have to say about that.
I did such a big cry. Man, what a good film.
Garb has no soul.
Garb.
It hurt.
Okay, Garb, I believe you.
I don't know what else you want me to say.
I believe you. I just wanted to poke some fun at you.
Yeah, it got me at the end, too. I don't remember exactly where, but it got me.
It's not fair.
It is not fair. Someone's so pure.
But yeah. And that's the film.
Truly was a film.
Yeah. Well,
can I cry now?
Is that what it sounds like when you cry?
Hey, I'm getting a telegram.
Okay.
Can't read it. Chuck, can you read it? I can't read tele.
It says that we have to talk about characters first.
Damn it.
Tried so hard. Got so far.
I just threw one of my foamy things over my balcony.
Over your balcony?
I'll explain. Not now, though.
Cool. Anyway, so let's just talk about a couple characters. Since it's, you know, we've talked about most of them. It's a movie. You don't have too much of a supporting cast. Or else it'd be too confusing. So first, we have Jiro. What a guy. What a man. A dude.
He's hot. Sorry, was that? Oh, whoops.
So true, bestie. So true.
Dude, I don't know, man. He's dedicated to his work, which I enjoyed a lot. Like, this man had a dream, and he just went for it. Like, that was... That I mean, I think that's cool personally.
No, it was wonderful. I feel like it was a great, great, just great character.
Mm-hmm.
Very engaging, very interesting,
very nice to everybody, strangers alike. Like, this man would let you eat his own food, save your maid, just man, speak French to you, dude. Man, if only I could speak French.
Oh, yeah, but Jiro's great. Simple character, but done very, very well. Naoko, so sad. I love her so much.
Mm-hmm.
She's the best.
I cry. When she showed up at the beginning as the kid, I was just like, and then when I thought their house burned down, I was like, oh, shoot. Well, I guess this is just a movie about him and planes. I'm glad she came back. And then I regretted that decision instantly when she said she had tuberculosis. And I was like, you can't do this to me.
Don't talk to me.
She's so pure.
She's wonderful. I absolutely adore it.
She had such
it.
A beautiful scene. Do you remember that scene, guys, where they're playing with the paper airplane? Or, well, not really playing. There's a paper airplane, and Jiro nearly offs himself.
Yeah.
And then kind of jumps off the building, in a sense. I think it was that scene. I think I'm mixing up both scenes, but they were playing, and then the German guy was there too, and he crushes the plane. That made me laugh so hard.
It was
so
a very
happy.
Good scene. It made me giggle.
I had such a warm feeling in my heart. I thought everything was going to be okay.
You fool.
You can't stop laughing at me. I'm easily tricked.
It happened to me too.
I've been debated.
Not again.
But yeah. Great. And I guess since you brought the man's up himself, we got Catstrup. He's just a funny little man.
Dude, he's looking out for his homies, dude.
Yeah.
He's just vacationing, and he likes his cigars because it reminds him of home. Also, he had a funny fit in that scene that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Also, I like his nose. Yeah, no. On God, 100%, 4K.
I loved when he was singing, and I was like, wow, he's singing.
Oh, yo, that scene was, I was almost at epic, wow. No, it was epic, I'm a liar, dude, epic. That was awesome.
Yeah, no, it was a fun character. I guess, quickly, we got Giovanni, who's just a mustached man. He was cool. He was in Dreams.
I like his hat.
Yeah.
Hey, little Japanese boy.
Don't say that.
That's how he sounded like. Stanley Tucci just...
Is it really?
Yeah.
The the Tooch Master?
I believe you.
The Tooch Master himself, dude. That's exactly... I'm not kidding. That's how it sounded like.
That's wild. Yeah. We also got Hanjo, his friend.
He's a cool dude. He was... what I liked about his character... Jiro made those plans, right? And he was like, hey, you should use this for your ship. And then Hanjo was just like, you know what? I'm going to keep these, but I'm not going to use them because you got to do it. And I was like, that's a true homie, dude, right there. Like, shoot. Yeah. Could not have been me. Actually, it should have been me.
Oh, yeah, no. He's an interesting character. I just don't really talk about him much because there's not too much to cover, especially in a synopsis style format, but he really does help bring the character of Jiro, like gives him some extra depth and someone to play off of, and it's not just him moping around.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I guess
can't leave out the goat.
Well, we got Kaio first, the sister. I like that she became a doctor, and she was like, let me do this. Once again, another character that is not wholly necessary, but really fleshes out the other characters, so it's a great addition, and I really liked her characterization. And then when she cried after reading the letter, I hurt so bad. I hurt so extremely bad. Oh, fuck.
She was... I like the fact that she hounded him about not being with the family.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part. She's a loving sister. Even when she was a kid, that was like the cutest thing, just on the roof. You're not supposed to be up here. Where is... Yeah. Look at the stars! Oh, man.
Yeah. And then obviously Kurokawa. Hella based.
Dude. That animation of his hair jumping around, dude.
Somebody spent weeks on that.
I love whoever that man was, that or woman who was that, or whoever they were who did that. Props to you, dude. That's awesome.
Also, before we do the iconic segment, I do want to bring up probably like the thing that most people know about this film, if they have not seen it. The scene where where Jiro and Naoko are together at night after they got married. They already, you know, everything had already happened, and so Jiro has to still work on some designs for it. And Naoko's like, "Can you scoot closer and like hold my hand?" It's like, and she's like, "I love watching you work." I'm like, I did cry. I did big tears, but I was like, oh my God. It made me so sad. Made me so sad. So iconic. Oh. Man. That was so good.
Man. There's no more Telegram. We ran out of papers.
Oh, no. Whatever will we do? Pano.
Yeah? Hey, wait, I had this crazy dream, bro.
Oh, what's up?
It told me to tell you to something about barbecue? No. Grills?
Oh, well, is that I was ringing gonna bells? Well, Pino, what I was gonna tell you is that telegraphing doesn't use paper. It uses electricity and code. So why would they, if we're out of
paper? You gotta write it down somewhere.
You could tell me. You can translate it in your tiny little head, can't you?
All at once.
Well, I mean, they do one letter at a time. It's not like they give you 100 clicks in 2 seconds and say, decipher it.
Nah, fuck that. I'm with Bino.
Yeah. You gotta save yourself. It's the last time we're doing this. Tentatively.
Last episode. Hey, guys. Guys, I actually put up my telegraph antenna, and I'm receiving a code.
Bring her.
And because I am hella based, I can decipher it in my head and translate it out. So
okay, well, tell me, little boy.
You are the little boy here.
God, no.
Welcome to the 104th edition of The Best Girl, the part of the podcast where Ethan doesn't put forth their choice for Best Girl, the episode, and Duke it out for title of Best Girl. Today, our contestants, once again, Pano, Garb, myself, didn't ask the patron this time. Sorry, boys, and girls, and thems, and anyone else. Who are you each advocating for?
I'm afraid to pick someone first because we didn't talk about this ahead of time. Well,
Say it first. You got it.
Hanjo.
Damn. I'll pick Kaio.
Guys.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
Nobody picked Kurokawa. That's me, baby.
You picking Kurokawa?
Yeah. He's
based.
I mean, his wife is pretty chill.
No, I'm talking about the mans, bro.
Based and short pilled.
Just like you, Pino.
Hell yeah, dude.
Ah, here I go.
Okay.
That was me shrinking.
Wow.
Who do what first?
Do you want to go first, Garb, or should I?
You know, Hanjo is a respectful man, and I appreciate that. And he's one of the only ones that wasn't married or dead by the end.
Hey, so. You know what? That's fair, dude.
No, that's a lie. He was married. He got married before they went to Germany. So L plus ratio plus didn't ask plus no maidens.
You can't do this to the boy. What are you doing?
No maidens.
No maidens.
Wow. I felt absolutely threatened.
You should cancel him, Garb. That was kind of toxic.
I'm going to delete
you. You can't delete me.
Post your nudes on Twitter.com.
Nah.
That's your mistake. I've already posted my nudes on Twitter.com.
No.
Yeah, check out our Twitter. Fuck Anime Podcast. And three Weebros. THREEAWEEBROS. Three Aweebros.
Email
us, please. Tell us your best girl. Email us. Good old snail email.
Snail!
Alright.
Anyway, I love Hanjo.
Hanjo's a good man. Hanjo's cool. He's a cool friend. But you know who else is cool? Medical science. You know who knows medical science?
Yeah.
Kaio. She can tie her shoes and count by twos?
Damn, that's more than I can do.
No, wait, that's Franklin the Turtle. Never mind.
so silly of you.
I'm kind of quirky. No, Kaio is great. Her character is kind of the energy I needed. It's not like over the top, like little sister energy, but it was just like, you know, she really cares about her brother, her family, and now her newly added sister-in-law, which I thought was really nice. You know, you only get to see a lot of Jiro, and I thought we were going to see more of the family, so I'm really glad we got to see her. Plus, doctor's medicine's kind of cool. I think it helps her body stay, you know, healthy, so that's a plus. Also, when she was extremely hurt at the end and just, you know, crying because of the letter, I wanted to hug her really badly because I was so sad.
Yeah.
But she's awesome.
But you know,
give her
a
big old hug. She also has cool hair.
You know who has cooler hair and is more awesome? That's Kurokawa, baby.
Damn, dude, he's
right. This man's an engineer. He's got that fat fade, dude. It's so good. Those glasses, man's so short, but he carries it so well.
Damn! Wow, dude! Wow, that's a cut! Wow.
he comes off as stubborn maybe a little bit standoffish at first, you realize that he really does care about his friends and employees. He's great. He does. He does so good, and his wife is cool, and they married his worker, his employee, because he's kind and housed them and hid them from the police. So truly ACAB, if I've ever heard it, let's fucking go, baby. Guys, Kirkhow is based, but you know who else is based? Everyone who sends us emails at funkyanimepodcast@gmail.com.
Truly.
Truly.
And email us because we have emails, maybe. Yes, we have emails. Okay, yippee! Guys. First one.
Hell yeah.
Email from Brady. Thank you, Brady. Titled Left Foot. If a rich billionaire like Elon Musk wanted your left foot and only the left foot, how much would you sell it for?
I don't want to give Elon Musk anything at the moment.
Well, see, that's the thing. I would ask for his entire stake
of ribeye or
everything.
I was
you were on the same wavelength.
I would simply ask him for all of his money.
See, I would simply flip.
Shout out.
How much does a prosthetic cost?
I mean, not
a
that
really good
I mean,
prosthetic.
Prosthetic, and it would only be your foot as well, so it wouldn't even be like your leg motion, you know. So that would even be like less expensive because you're not doing a whole ass leg.
True.
Man. I want to get like Big Boss. You know how Big Boss has like a rocket punch. I want if I were to a give him my kick. Left leg, I want rocket.
You
leg.
Would have like. Like
well then you would have to pay enough for the R&D development of your rocket foot.
True. But I could have a USB toe like fucking Nano.
Oh my god. No. USB toe. Absolutely iconic. Yeah, I don't know, just a whole lot of, like an incredibly dumb sum of money, like more than like he paid for Twitter.
Yeah, like, probably.
Like several billion dollars.
I have this weird
this
thing
is
that
not
I just
gonna age well.
What do you
this
mean? Is... He already bought it. It's already done.
I mean, ever since I lost my appendix, I kinda wanna keep the rest of my body to myself, you know? I don't know where I left the appendix though.
He lost it somewhere.
I asked them if I could have it and they're like, no.
Why wouldn't they let you have it?
I don't know. Maybe because I was forgot, or maybe because I was still under the influence of the anesthesia when I was being Homer for some reason. And now I know that wasn't Homer that I did right now.
That
but...
wasn't Homer. That wasn't even.
I don't know who that was.
That was like a mix. That was a mix between like Barney and Krusty. Yeah, but yeah, and just an incredible sum of money.
Based.
Anyway, hey, other email from Alex. Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, Alex.
Happy End of Season is the title.
Woo!
Howdy, y'all. What another wonderful season. I don't know what you're listening to. From one of the best anime podcasts. Don't know what you're listening to. Yeah. With the beauty of The Wind Rises showing the journey of one creator's life, how do y'all feel like you've grown as podcasters this season?
Damn, what a deep-ass question. Hold on, you gotta come back
man.
To me, dude.
I don't know, man. I don't even know.
I have the least ums now, and that's all I really
well, like the least, the least out of everyone on here, or less than prior.
Just for this season,
who has the most ums this season?
That's I don't.
Yeah,
know.
See, you're not keeping track, so maybe you do have more ums, but you have less ums than prior seasons. You could say that.
This is true.
You could make that
actually with this. I just surpassed you, so
wow. Well, also, you didn't say you said so I just surpassed him. Wow. So silly of you.
Wow, I don't want to be on this podcast anymore.
Kind of how's the season? We're going to talk about it more, but growth as a podcast. You got a new mic?
I feel like I peaked at like season 3.
I don't know. You got a new mic, so now we can actually hear you.
No, now I'm peaking on my little boxy thing here. That my audio peaks, dude. That's how far I peaked. No. Seriously though, I think at one point I was pretty okay at formulating my thoughts in a very long way. Now my brain kind of scatters everywhere. But now I feel like I've lost that, you know, monotoneness that I had like season one and two. So I'm screaming a lot more. I don't know if people like me screaming a lot more, but I'm screaming. I'm letting loose, you know. I'm a goose. I'm
footloose.
Yeah. But I also have noticed that I try my hardest to be a good host on my episodes. It doesn't work out too well, I think. But I've been putting a lot more effort into trying to make sure I'm maybe like 80% factual on my episode, you know? I can't try.
It ain't easy being screamy.
Yeah, it ain't easy being 100%. So I said, you know what? A B is okay. What can I do? But
don't need a B though.
It's fun. I like this. So here's to more seasons. Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
And Garb, what about you?
I'm just glad that I say less.
I got him, dude. He's saying more.
Very difficult. It is very difficult, but it helps. And you can clear it out of your daily vocabulary, too.
It's true.
But
I don't feel as shaky anymore. I've noticed also when I start podcasting, I used to be very scaled.
And the mixing is better now?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry for 4 years of suffering. So sorry.
Glorious treble cream really helped us out in the last stretch there.
Amazing. That was a good question.
It's good. We grow. Also, second half of the email. We didn't even get there.
Wow, dude, you baited me.
I didn't bait you. I just did a question. We waited. Also, I don't know. I think we're just doing good. I feel like our format is consistent. We've done more things, and I think that maybe next season there's going to be something a little bit more interesting to help grow our content. But I'm not telling you about that now. You got to wait till the fucking special filler episodes that aren't canon.
Heck yeah, dude.
But, yeah.
Woohoo! Lore in the filler.
Also, second question. Also, if there was to be another classic video game made into a movie, are there any that y'all would want to see? I mean, man, that original Metroid movie pitch sounded sick. And then Nintendo said, we're not going to do that.
Give me a Castlevania movie, dude.
I mean, just take the animated series and just do Rondo of Blood.
But I feel like Rondo of Blood would be better in a series. Give me like like the first one, Castlevania 1 with Simon.
Do Castlevania 3 again.
Oh.
Just do it again.
No. You know, because they didn't have Dynasty, dude, whatever his name was.
So true, Bestie. So true.
They didn't have him. I miss him, dude.
Man, Castlevania 3 is the best NES one, though.
Yeah. It's a terrible night to have a curse, though, you know?
I mean, that's just a bad game.
Yeah, Castlevania's my pick.
I don't know.
I haven't thought about it. Yeah, I feel like Undertale. That's make Undertale. One. Make
nah,
it on.
Nah.
Okay.
Make Pac-Man, Undertale.
Pac-Man.
That one wins. Undertale wins.
I said it as a joke.
No.
I'm scrolling through my Steam playlist. Can we get Spy Fox in dry cereal as a movie?
Get me Freddy Fish solving a mystery murder, dude.
And
fucking Star Fox, for that matter.
Can we get a Humongous Entertainment multiverse? Anyway.
No.
That's it. Email us at fuckinganimepodcast@gmail.com. We will be doing fillers, as we do. I think we'll do a little bit longer time between seasons, just to give us a little bit of a break. I have some ideas on what we're going to be doing in that future. But before I announce anything, let's go do some rankings.
All right.
Because I definitely don't want to forget about it on the last fucking episode of this.
Last time we forgot a rating.
We only forgot once, right?
Yeah, we only forgot once, and that was Pino's fault. So.
What? What? Yeah. I'll disagree. I have no energy today.
Okay, who go first?
Me, because I have no energy today. I'm giving this a 4.3 out of 5, baby. I would not watch it again because I don't want to be in pain anymore. That's basically the only reason. Actually, you know what? Screw it. 4.5.
Fair.
Yeah. I'll cry every time.
I think it's going to have to be something high like that, but it's really between if I could justify not giving it a 5, because I can't, other than the pain and agony, I don't have anything bad to say about it.
Yeah.
It's good pacing. It's a fucking Ghibli movie.
Yeah.
You know? It's good. I have to give it a 5.
There you go.
I can't.
That's his second Ghibli 5 out of 5.
Wow.
He also gave 5 out of 5 to Porco Rosso. I'm really torn because in my heart of hearts, I want to give it a 5. Like truly. I'm just going to give it a 5. Fuck it.
That was
a phenomenal film. I literally have no complaints with it. I cried the whole second half. It was a beautiful story. It was beautifully animated. It was just overall like one of my favorite film experiences I've ever had. So sure, 5 out of 5. Fuck it. Why not?
Damn, Pino hates this movie.
Pino absolutely does hate this movie out of 4.5 out of 5.
I can't believe this.
He absolutely hates it. And so make sure everyone to flame him in our email, on our Twitter, on our website, funkyanimepodcast.com.
On our Patreon.
On our Patreon. Hey, guys. Patron, do it, please. Helps us do stuff.
Making fun of me helps us do stuff?
Yeah.
Based.
I just really appreciate all of our support. We opened it up around Yuru Camp, which was a while ago.
Season 1?
Which was in season 2.
2?
Mid-season 2. So I wanted to just thank everyone for their support because truly, like, it means so much to us that you can help support this podcast and help support us, you know, extremely, extremely small creators just doing something that we love and make us able to do all the things we do. So truly from the bottom of our hearts, we want to thank you for supporting us throughout these 4 seasons and to many beyond. Usually at this point, we're like, oh, let's announce what we're watching next. As you may or may not know, after every season, we do take our filler break, which isn't really a break. You're still getting bi-weekly content or, you know, as close to bi-weekly as I can. We are going to be doing the thing we do every year, which is just saying, hey, let's do a season in review. So we will talk about the season. We will give insights on some episodes that we loved, some changing of some rankings because, God, I don't even know what I'm going to change this year.
Yeah,
I actually don't know, even though I've said I was going to change rankings like many times.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's, we watched Medicabot this year. God damn.
Damn, I'm actually halfway through the second season. Spoilers.
I mean, that's not really a spoiler.
It's not really that good.
That's the spoiler.
I mean, I'm pretty content. Maybe I bump up Lucky Star more just to make Pino mad. Anyway, guys, as always, the secretary that has now realized that telegrams don't actually need paper to work, so their production has increased tenfold. Well, that's Pino.
We can save so many trees. I mean, we can be so productive. Straight to the brain, everybody. Straight to the brain.
Garb, the novice engineer, has now tried to make an upside down plane and doesn't see anything wrong with that. That's Garb.
Guys, check out the wings.
But
isn't this shit crazy? Let's see if it flies.
How is he sitting in? I'm just tested.
It's monkey bars.
This is
for primates.
What?
Yeah.
And me, the owner, and soon to be jobless,
bankrupt,
and just straight up hated by all, leader of the funky airplane part manufacturer, and then something with it.
Repair and service.
There was an S at the end of it.
Yeah.
Fapms. Well, that's me, Chuck. Thank you so much for listening to the Funky Anime Podcast. We truly do appreciate you listening to all these episodes. And remember, tell your mom you love her. And we'll see you guys at the season review. Bye.
Thank you. I almost forgot. I brain froze. I was like, we're supposed to say something.
Well, there we go.